This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say, but if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free for All Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this Free for All Friday, the one, the original Free for All Friday. And as always, we have a lot to talk about today. And I have a few things to say about the latest NACI guidance on AstraZeneca, which came out late yesterday afternoon, and I'm sure is throwing a lot of people into a bit of a tizzy. Either they are regretting their previous decision or maybe thinking they should change their minds for an upcoming appointment. So here's what I have to say. Number one, don't stress. Either a second dose of AstraZeneca or a second dose of an mRNA vaccine will protect you very well. We knew about the reasons that NACI made the recommendation they did, that you should take, that it is preferred to take a second dose of Pfizer or Moderna. We've been talking about that here on this show for well over a month. It first came up with Dr. Peter Uni, when it was kind of theoretical that maybe taking two different ones might protect you a little better. And then we talked about it. There were two very small Spanish studies. So bottom line, speaking for myself, speaking for people who listen to the show, they certainly were able to take that into account when making their decision. Now, last week, when we talked about this, last week, the guidance was, if you had a first dose of AstraZeneca, do you want? Make your own decision. And most people called and said they wanted a second dose of AstraZeneca. That was a good decision. So my question to you is that if your second shot is upcoming, are you changing your mind because of this guidance? Or what do you think about the whole thing? This whole thing just gives me personally less confidence in NACI, because if you are a healthcare professional, I know that they're driven by the science, but there are people here and you don't do things in such a way to make people more anxious and confused, which is exactly what they have done from the beginning of the piece when it comes to AstraZeneca. There's a lot of information out there. So again, whatever you choose, whatever you've done, don't stress about it. My family and I, we all now have had second shots of AstraZeneca, except for Marilyn, who had the Pfizer vaccine because she's 80 years old and was among the first to get vaccinated. So I don't regret this at all. I am really happy that I have a second vaccination and that 1 week from Monday, I will be fully immunized, according to it. Now, the lines are full, so we're going to get right there. I will give the numbers again, especially if you have anything to say about this AstraZeneca flip-flop or whatever you want to call it. 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And let us go to Jan in Guelph. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Libby. It's nothing to do with AstraZeneca.
Sure, go ahead.
I heard on the news this morning that they're thinking of paying people who don't want the vaccine at all $50 or $100 to get the vaccine. Now, I'm not talking
who's
about
they? Who's they, Jen?
Pardon?
Who is they? You say they.
I'm sorry, I didn't get who it was on the news, but I know I heard it on the news.
Okay. Let me just clarify because it's important. When you say they, you make it sound like it's the government. It is a company, a timber company, and it wants to pay employees and contractors at sites across Quebec and Ontario to get vaccinated. So it's a private company, but go ahead about your opinion on it. So it's not like it's the government using our taxpayers' money to pay people.
But whoever, anyway, I think it's very wrong. I think these people who don't want the vaccine should take the consequence of it. And I really think that if they get COVID, maybe they shouldn't be treated.
That's kind of harsh.
Their choice.
Well, yeah, but you know, when people are running a workplace, they have other considerations, and this is, you know, this is something that all employers are grappling with, and they want their employees to be vaccinated so the workplace will be safe. So first of all, employers are legally bound to provide a safe workplace.
Yeah.
And is it unsafe if there are some people who are not vaccinated? Are you allowed to tell somebody who's not vaccinated that they can't come back to work? I mean, presumably if they can work from home, it's not a huge issue, though, you know, we're getting to the point where for certain things, people have to come back to the office.
Right.
What about the other employees if they don't feel safe, if they know that the person in the cubicle next to them is not vaccinated? So employers have a lot to worry about. And you know, my understanding of it legally, and it's something we've talked about and something we should talk about more, it's kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. You know, you can be said to be discriminating against certain people. If you provide $50 to somebody to get vaccinated and the person who did it on their own, like, where's their $50?
That's right.
So there's all kinds of...
You could get people who deliberately say no just to get $50.
it's a minefield anyway you look at it. And the one government thing that I heard of, in Alberta, they're having a lottery. So that you go into the lottery, you can win $1 million. There you go. But, you know, I think the lineups that we're seeing outside of these mass vaccination sites and all the to and fro, I think one thing it shows is that, you know what? People want to be vaccinated.
That's right. Okay, thank you then, Libby. I'll listen to the rest of the show and see what anybody else has to say.
Okay, thanks for that. Okay, let's go to Ron in Guelph. Hi, Ron.
Well, Libby, thanks for taking my call. Well, originally, yesterday you changed the subject about travel, and I wanted to talk about the differences between Ontario and Quebec and their public health care systems, but leave that for another time. What my subject today I want to talk about, which is very important right now, is I would rather educate than eradicate when it comes to naming universities, statues, everything else. Instead, this is starting to get kind of crazy, isn't it?
Well, you know what? I think that all of this debate actually is educating people because, you know what? My observation, and I'm guilty of this too, even though I studied history as a student, is that I could go by most of these places 1,000 times without giving a second thought to who was that person who this is named after. So I think the debates are having us have a look at history, reevaluating history. And you know what? We have to come to terms with the fact that there are dark sides to people who also did good things. But I think, the fact that we are having a debate and hearing about things that we probably never heard about in school, that's a good thing.
Well, I mean, it comes back to, as I said, educate. I mean, what's crazy about this thing? I can bring this thing right up to credit. I could go with Edward Cornwallis in Halifax, Henry Dundas. They want to change Dundas Street, Dundas County. Peter Russell in Toronto, Russell, where my family came from, south of Ottawa. And let's go up into newer history with Mackenzie King. And at that time in the late 30s, I mean, you probably know this from the fact, Mackenzie King refused to allow a shipload of Jews, the Mount St. Louis, I guess, to land in Canada, and ended up going back to Germany. Now, so this was normal practice back then to discriminate against Jews. Was it right? Of course not. It was absolutely wrong. Do we destroy everything about Mackenzie King that he did because of one wrong thing?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I do not have fond feelings for Mackenzie King, you know, and but this part of it was well known. And, you know, I'm trying to think of how many things we have named after Mackenzie King, you know, not that many anymore. There are some streets in Ottawa. I don't want to say because I'm going to be corrected, some schools, but yeah, yep. You're right. But that episode, and he basically said none is too many. It wasn't just the one ship, you know, that's well known.
Before Mackenzie King, we're talking about Ryerson. Well, what I think a lot of people, yes, were they wrong? This was, I guess, during the day, Peter Russell had a slave. This is the early 1800s in Dundas. This was normal practice back in the day, normal. And so, yeah, we recognize it's wrong, but I want to step into the 1990s and right into the present. I'm going to make a blatant statement to say
Ron, we've been talking to you for a long time, so why don't you save the next one? I hear you, and we have a lot of other calls. So let us go to Claire in Mississauga. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Libby. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
To follow up more on the your program yesterday, and I just missed you by a few seconds, but regarding vaccines and travel, we have a little bit of an interesting situation in our family. My grandson and his wife live in Dubai with their children, and they initially were given the vaccine. They both received the Sinopharm, and they received also their second dose. So now they normally look forward to coming back to Canada and the States. Ron, my grandson, is Canadian. Kristen, his wife, is American. So, of course, the situation wasn't looking too good with the Chinese vaccine. So their antibodies turned out to be low because they had them checked. So they have since had to have the Pfizer, and they've now had two doses of it in order to hopefully travel here.
Well, you know, you bring up a very interesting point, and we got the first taste of it with the news that, you know, you can't go to the Springsteen concert in New York next week if you've got AstraZeneca. So there's going to be all of this. Now, I think when it comes to AstraZeneca, that's going to be sorted out pretty quickly, as I said, because you know what? New York especially relies a lot on tourism. And it's 2 million of us Canadians who've had AstraZeneca, which is considered to be very effective, plus tens of millions of British people. But the Chinese vaccine, the Russian Sputnik vaccine, I don't know when people are going to recognize those. And it's interesting that you tell me that their antibodies were low because they had them checked. You know, and frankly, in Dubai, it's probably a lot easier to get that sorted out than it is here. I don't know if people who have two shots of AstraZeneca are going to say, hey, I want to go with the mRNA. I don't think that's necessary for the moment.
I know. It was just of interest, though. I thought here, just in my little family, so to speak, you know.
Well, you know what it is? It is very much of interest. And I think that you are right that if they had just stuck with the Chinese vaccine, they wouldn't have been able to come home.
They wouldn't have been able to come back, no. And they've still got fairly severe quarantine restrictions. Kristen, particularly, they're world travelers anyway, in their jobs, Libby, and they still require them to quarantine in a hotel at the moment for 3 days, and then to the home they're going to, they have to have a room with a separate bathroom for about 5 days.
Yep. Yes, we hear, and we will be dealing this with this on, yes, on Monday, that we're going to get an announcement of modified restrictions for fully vaccinated people on Monday.
Yes.
But I think what that's going to mean is that you won't have to go to a hotel. If you're going to get tested at the airport, and yes, you will have to go home.
Yes.
And self-isolate there while you await the results. And you might have to quarantine. I don't know if you'll be able to leave your quarantine at home after the one negative test, or you'll have to still self-isolate.
Yeah, I don't know. It is a consideration, especially when you're on limited time on a vacation. And
well, you have to make the calculation. Is it worth it for you, for instance?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go somewhere where I had to do that. I just do not have the time.
No, I'm sure not. Anyway, I just thought you'd be interested.
Okay, I am, actually. And thanks for your call, Claire.
Thank you, Libby.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right. It's time for a break. I'm going to give the numbers out before we go to break. So far, we've had a couple of issues, and they are, of course, the whole vaccine thing, the entire changes of guidance on AstraZeneca. I still haven't heard from anybody who's taking that shot, you know, and the question is, what do you think of all these changes? And also, are you changing your mind about what to do about a second dose if you haven't had one yet? I'm obviously not a doctor, but I am pretty well on top of this stuff. And I can tell you, I certainly don't regret taking two doses of AstraZeneca. We've heard from a caller whose family got the Chinese vaccine and then revaccinated because that wasn't going to be accepted. And, you know, we are going to have certainly a summer full of all these changes and twists and turns. So before we go to break, the number is 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And we also talked about renaming the university in Kingston. They moved the statue of Sir John A. Macdonald. They didn't get rid of it. They're just moving it. So all of that when we come back on the other side of the break.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. I'm going to get right to the phones. We have Beverly in Georgetown. Hi, Beverly.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm good. My question is, if you have autoimmune and you are not vaccinated and you're with a group of people, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in an outing with other people, who would be at risk? The people who are vaccinated or the person who's unvaccinated?
They're probably both a little bit at risk to a certain extent, but the person who is unvaccinated is probably, you know, I mean, I don't know if everybody is vaccinated there. I mean, the thing is that the vaccines are not 100%. They are not foolproof.
Right.
What they are just about 100% at is that they prevent severe illness. So Right. You can still get it if you are vaccinated. Presumably, it'll be a mild case, mm-hmm. And you should probably ask a doctor about that level of risk for somebody who has an autoimmune disease, because I got to tell you, I don't really know.
Yes, because I was really sick. I have celiac, and I was really sick for 15 years, 5 hospitalizations and 10 doctors before I was diagnosed, and I've enjoyed good health for 14 years, and I'm very, very nervous about getting an injection that might do something, well, it does something to your immune system, and it's pretty scary for me, too.
Well, have you talked to a doctor?
I have, and he said, I think you'll be okay, but there's no guarantee.
Well, maybe you need to talk to another doctor.
Or an immunologist or an endocrinologist.
Or somebody else. I mean, you know, and then you'll have to make a decision.
Yes. Okay.
Good luck with that.
Thank you so much, Libby.
Okay,
have
thank you.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Catherine in Waterloo. Hi, Catherine.
Hello, Libby. Yeah, I'd like to know why nobody mentions the Queen involved with these residential schools.
Queen Victoria.
Yes, Victoria. And because we expect an apology from the Pope, why not the Queen?
The Pope, because the Catholic orders were directly running those schools, and if we're finding things like unmarked graves, it was the Catholic religious who were running the schools who actually buried them that way.
But wouldn't the Queen Victoria make the order?
I mean, ultimately, she's responsible for what happened before Confederation.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, I have to re-look up when there was actually a system of residential schools. I don't think it was before Confederation, though they existed. Sure, Queen Victoria presided over a lot of colonialism. But, it's not a direct thing, and 60% of the residential schools were run by orders of the Catholic Church. So for whatever happened on those premises, whatever order ran it, and I know some of them were run by the Oblates, they're the people that did it, and that's why people want an apology from the Pope.
Yeah, because weren't we British subjects back then?
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're members of the Commonwealth. We were British subjects for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Catherine, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
I'm going to give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And we've got Franca in Oakville. Hi, Franca.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Just a question. So the fact is that you have to have two vaccines, be fully vaccinated in order to be able to travel. So has Trudeau had two? Because from what I recall, he only had one vaccine.
I think he only had one. I don't know. Maybe he had a second one, but you know what? Out of all the things to get on his case about, you know, I think if there are special rules for the prime minister traveling, that doesn't surprise me. And it doesn't really bother me. I mean, he did at least make a show of going to a quarantine hotel like the rest of us. He was only there for a few hours and he's self-isolating.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I am a Trudeau fan.
So oh, okay.
I'm not bashing him. I'm just saying why is it that it, you know, rules are for one and not the other? Just like Christine Elliott herself, who her face seems to be totally Botoxed.
Okay, Franca, we don't really need to get into that, what you think about her face. We don't talk about, I mean, that's not fair, I don't think.
Yeah.
So, Franca, thanks for your call. You're
Thank
a Trudeau
you.
Fan, and I'm not entirely sure, but I think he only had one dose. Okay, where are we going from here? Okay. Simone in Parkdale. Hi, Simone.
Hi there. I have a beef with Jagmeet Singh. That's what I wanted to call about.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm mad at him. He, you know, when the tragic killing of the four members of a Muslim family a while back, he got on his soapbox and started calling all Canadians racist. And, you know, this is a guy that said that Christians shouldn't be a leader of a political party in Canada. He should take care of his own discriminating attitudes. And, you know, he whose family came here to benefit from a country based on their Judeo-Christian ethics So I think he's way out of line by calling everybody racist.
Well, he was in that particular speech, which I heard, I thought it was way over the top. Where he said that people who are visibly Muslims, they can't walk down the street because they'll be killed. I thought that was completely over the top. Perhaps he was emotional. Perhaps it was calculated. Who knows? But a lot of people inferred from that he was calling everybody racist. It was definitely over the top, my opinion. And Simone, we have your opinion on that too. Thank you so much for your call. That happened about a week ago. So a week is it's a lifetime in politics. And you know what? It's a lifetime on Free for All Friday. Are people still miffed about that? The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to Joe in Mississauga. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. First of all, I just want to say how much I appreciate how much work you do for all the seniors and the senior homes and all that and all your shows about all that.
Thank you.
I got my second shot of AstraZeneca last week, and I got my first one in March. And I'm fine with that the same way you are. The only thing that really troubles me is that there's been about like six different chapters of AstraZeneca. First, with the blood clotting, and then when it expired, and then they said that you could take it another month after that, which is fine, because I think, it's not going to expire that day, and it's going to be no good that day. Of course, I never believed that in the first place. But now, when they're just saying about getting a second shot, maybe Moderna or Pfizer, and then Mayor Tory was saying that he had the first shot of AZ, now he was going to talk to his doctor before he gets a second shot. Well, he should just go get the AZ as well. I'm fine with that. I'm just disturbed by all the confusion all the time, because it's a different story all the time with the AstraZeneca. That's basically what my
okay.
My
you know what?
Is.
So there is new information about this all the time because it's so new. But in this case, honestly, the way that this information has rolled out, I blame that panel, because they wait till just after somebody has made decisions and put the information out in a way that is frankly going to upset people. And I don't think it's necessary, because at every step of the way, they could have made the call a little bit sooner.
Yeah, and you're right about that, because yesterday I was out in the patio for the first time, and I still I'm 64, and I still hang out with my friends that I grew up with, and we golf together, and we've got a group, maybe about four or five of us. Anyway, they all are in the same boat. They just recently got their second shot of AZ too, and we were sitting around having a beer yesterday on the patio, and everybody was fine with it, even though that news had come out yesterday. And they all feel the same way I do. But what you just said is right, just about the way they presented it and all that just starts to. And people who worry a lot are going to worry more. And I personally don't. And I'm like you. I'm happy I got it, and that's that.
Well, and you know what? For people who've been listening to this show, as I mentioned, this idea, or that there's now more evidence for that mixing the shots can give you a little better protection. And you know what? It's been tested a little bit in the real world, but a lot of it is also, it's an average and it's theoretical. We first heard about that. I can't remember exactly when, but over a month for sure.
Yeah.
We first heard about it as kind of speculation, and I kept talking to people about it. And then there were some small studies. So I'm thinking that at least for our listeners, they took that into account. I took it into account when I made my decision. And finally NACI comes out and makes this recommendation. I just think, the following the science and waiting till you're sure is one thing, but when you are making recommendations for people, you have to take the people into account. And I don't think they have. And again,
agree.
Happy with the decision. I'm happy that you are happy with the decision.
Yeah. Okay.
So far, so good. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Julius in Scarborough. Hi, Julius.
Well, good afternoon, Ms. Nimer. Before I hit on my quick topic, can I make a quick comment?
Go ahead.
As far as I know, I'm not a racist.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now, my call is about this lady MP that switched parties from the Green to the Liberals, Ms. Atwin.
Mm-hmm.
I find this very, very troublesome and worrisome, because people vote for you in your party, and then you go and switch to another one. I didn't vote for that party. I voted for you in that party. I know that this is, you know, most. I'm surprised it's allowed, actually.
Well, it happens, you know, fairly frequently,
yes,
and people who do it often get punished at the ballot box the next time around. So the question is,
in my opinion, they should resign and run again.
Okay, well, the rules are they can cross the floor. And, you know, mostly people don't either, you know, they're not necessarily that successful. We had David Emerson, who was in cabinet after crossing the floor. There's this woman, what's her name, Aleva, who crossed from the Liberals to the Conservatives, and she got a critic job. And we'll see what happens with Jenica Atwin.
Well,
I mean, she made some...
It won't come to a good end, I guarantee you that.
Well, yeah. So we'll see what happens to her. Let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to Lily in Woodbridge. Hi, Lily.
Hi, Libby. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
Okay, my comment today is regarding COVID vaccine. I did mine in April, and I'm trying to book my second one. It's very difficult, as you all know. The thing that bothers me the most is every 2-3 days or every week they keep on moving it up, saying those that had their shot on or before mine was April, now we're already into May. People are still waiting for, like me, I'm still waiting for mine, and yet they're advancing every 2-3 days, like, you know, moving it up, like people that had, now we're into May, people that had theirs in May.
Is your problem the booking site, the provincial booking site?
Yeah, I'm trying everything. You know, the one in New York.
Have you tried some pharmacies? I don't know what
shot. I put my name on a waiting list there, too. It's like, it's so frustrating. You know,
and
like
you know what? Here's something we have not discussed yet that I find very disturbing and lacking in common courtesy, because there are a fair percentage of these appointments that are no-shows. And that apparently is because people are booking, some people are booking multiple sites to see, you know, where their best, most convenient appointment is going to be. And then they don't bother canceling. And as a matter of fact, Chief Matthew Pegg, who we've talked to on the show many times, he's pleading with people, you know what? If you're not going to go to an appointment, cancel it, because then somebody else can have a chance. So I want to put that out there for people. It's just it's more than inconsiderate, because this is a life-saving thing, and you have people spending hours and not being successful in booking. So if you were clever enough or fast enough to book multiple appointments, you're obviously only going to go to one. Cancel the appointments you're not going to, because it's just not right.
Yeah, because I'm 68 years old and I want to get this thing done. But yet, every now I heard yesterday, people that had their shots on or before May, I think it was the 19th, I heard now, can start booking. I go, what about the, I'm still in April. I had mine in April, and I can't get an appointment.
Well, maybe if there's somebody who can help you with the booking, that would be helpful. I wish you all the best, Lily, and thank you for pointing that out.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's time for another break. Let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740. Toll-free 1-866-740-4740. It's a free-for-all Friday. Tell me whatever is on your mind, and we'll be back after the break.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday.
Let's go. step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt. Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free For All Friday. And I am about to take a call from someone whose call I could not get to yesterday. And I am very glad, Marion in Mimico, that you are calling back. And this is a very serious thing. And I think we all need to hear you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Libby, and it took a bit to make this call, but I certainly hope the gentleman who phoned in yesterday and, in my opinion, seemed to brag about the fact he was out of Canada for a month, and when questioned at the border, he told him something about human rights or whatever and walked away scot-free. I would just like to, as I repeat, hope he's listening, to say that my husband passed away on the 2nd of November.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Libby. Our family are all out of town, and we haven't, because we're honest people who obey the law, haven't been able to have a funeral yet. And I'm wondering how he would feel about that.
Yeah, he did sound like he was bragging about avoiding the quarantine hotel. And he probably didn't respect the quarantine when he got to his house either. That'd be my guess.
So what message does that give everybody when we're all trying so hard and almost looking at a finish line?
Well, you know what? Like you said, you and your family, and I'm so sorry for what you're going through, are law-abiding and considerate of other people. And I don't think that that comes from your own values, and it doesn't come from what somebody else is doing. And there are always going to be people who break the rules, get around the rules, and, you know, what can I say about it?
But thank you. And it's our hearts, what's in our hearts, that counts.
And again, you know, this is one of the terrible things that happened because of COVID. And I hope that you get to see your family soon and you get to memorialize your husband in a way that helps you in your grieving.
Thank you. It's on our to-do list.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Marion in Mimico. Let's go to Rita in Hamilton. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Libby. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, there you go. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm just calling about the whole booking system. It seems so terribly erratic, depending on where you are. I personally didn't have a problem, but I have two friends who were having difficulty. One lives in Hamilton. The other lives in Kitchener. And what they ended up doing was just walking into a pharmacy, asking if they were taking any walk-ins. And in both cases, they were not taking them that day, but they gave them an appointment for the very next day, both of them.
Well, exactly. And, you know, as I've told people, I was off on Monday. We had appointments for our second shots. Those appointments were not easy to get. And I came home and I posted the photograph on Instagram, and then some of the other people that are my Instagram friends or whatever, you know, I started to hear from people who said, I walked into a pharmacy. They were just doing a pop-up with walk-ins. I got my shot. No appointment needed. And it's, you throw your hands up.
I know. It's crazy. The whole system is just crazy.
Well, you know what? The numbers are telling the tale. And finally, after a terrible start to this, we are doing really, really well. We are leading the world with first doses, and we're getting there with second doses. We're vaccinating a lot of people every day. So I have to give credit to the authorities that are doing this. It's local authorities that are getting this done. And of course, it depends on supply. And the only people I'm not giving credit to today are NACI.
Oh, I know. That has been such a flip-flop. It's just crazy. It's so annoying, you know. I mean, it's a different information every day, and you don't know, I don't know what to say about that. I really don't.
Okay, Rita, thank you.
Thank you very much, Libby. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Daryl in Toronto. Hello, Daryl.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm hanging in. So I was just wondering, back to the topic of AstraZenophobia.
that's a good word. I like that.
You can use it. Now, considering if 2 months down the line, the real life, you know, evidence shows that mixing the mRNA and the AstraZeneca gives you even better protection, would you not consider, after everyone else has been vaccinated, getting a shot of one of the mRNAs just to boost it even further?
If I need a booster shot, there are people who are saying that we will be needing a third shot, that they're probably going to change the formulations of everything a little bit because there may be new variants. You know, I think I am very well protected, or I will be a week Monday when I'm fully vaccinated. And unlike, you know, one of our first callers who said her relatives who got the Chinese vaccine revaccinated, I don't think it's necessary. And unless, you know, there was some reason, like not being able to travel somewhere I wanted to go, but I think that's going to be sorted out. You know, I just don't think it's necessary, because if you look at the differences in the efficacy, it's a percentage in a trial or in some of the real world things. So that's what I'm thinking. But I honestly do believe that we're all going to need a booster, a third shot. I'm not sure when. And we'll deal with it then. And when we get that third shot, it's probably going to be Pfizer, Moderna.
All right. Okay. Also, I'd like to invite that gentleman from, I guess, yesterday, who was proud of not being quarantined or whatever, and his human rights. I'd like to invite him to phone back and leave his name and number so that the authorities can contact him.
Okay. I'm sure he's really wanting to do that. You know, they raised the fine apparently to over $5,000. So,
Let him fight for his human rights.
Okay. Thank you, Daryl.
All right. Everyone have a good weekend. I got my Pfizer, my second one, last Friday. So 1 week from now.
Good for you. 1 week from now.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone be well.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Alda in Toronto. Hi, Alda.
Hi.
Alda, I can't hear you.
Hello? How are you?
Yes, there you are. Okay. I'm fine. Thank you.
I just want to, I'm in the same boat as that caller, Lillian, she called you. I've been trying for 2 weeks now to try to get my second dose, which I got on April 3rd. And
First one you got on April the 3rd.
The first one I got on April 3rd, and I'm trying to get my second one. And I've been calling like 2 weeks now, and there's never an appointment. And I got it at the Toronto Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, okay, we do have an appointment for you if you want to go. It's in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Another one was in Barrie. Another one was in Alliston. It's all over the province except the one that I want to go to in Toronto. And I'm just so frustrated, and I don't know what to do. I don't know. They're just telling me, keep calling. And yeah,
are you
the same boat as her.
Are you going online or are you calling?
No, I'm calling.
I'm calling. Can you go online? Can you go online? Do you have the wherewithal to go online?
Well, not really. Oh. I'm 68 years old, and I'm not sure how to do that online. I always get frustrated. But I've been calling every single day, and I've called this morning, and they wanted me to go to New Tecumseh. It's somewhere close to Barrie, anyway. So what's going on here? It's like, I don't understand why they don't. And they just reported on the, I saw it on the news, that there's 30,000
Moderna shots
to start on June 21st.
And I asked them about it, and they said, well, no, we don't know anything about that. We don't know.
Just that might calling. That might be a city pop-up. So what I would suggest to you is to check about the pop-up clinics. And also, have you checked pharmacies?
Pharmacies, yes. They have my name on the list, but they have never called me back. And it was the same thing. My daughter, to get her first one, she was trying to do that too. Till eventually she called, and she got an appointment at the Downview Hangar. So now she's going to be doing her second shot. So I told her, I said, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, but
why don't you ask your daughter to try to book it for you online? See if she has
maybe
better
I'll do
luck.
That. Yeah,
yeah. I would do that.
I don't know if.
I mean, it's probably the same pool, but it's just a matter of, you know, you happen to get on at the right time. Mm-hmm. And I've heard the same story from a lot of people. They get availability somewhere that is very hard for them to get to, and they keep trying, and eventually, boom, there'll be an appointment at the convention center or wherever.
Yeah.
You know, off the top of my head, I don't know the rules for all the pop-ups. I know people are lining up. It's
well,
also not easy.
I can't stand in line. My legs are very bad. I got arthritis in my leg. I can't stand for very long. And it's just...
Well, I know it's frustrating. I just wish you all the best. And if you're on the waiting list for some pharmacies, hopefully that comes through.
I'm due... I have an appointment for my second dosage on July the 24th.
But you'll get one before then.
They were saying you could get it earlier, right? So that's
I'm sure that
you.
I'm sure you'll be able to get it earlier. Honestly,
yeah.
And I wish you all the best. See if your daughter can help you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Right. Let's go to Ray in Vaughan. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Libby. I'm just commenting on what Jagmeet Singh said there. I didn't like that he said everybody in Canada was racist. And another thing, I wonder what the NDP think about that.
Well, he didn't quite say that. Like I said, that whole speech to me was over the top.
It was.
It was over the top, and it probably made some people feel better, and it probably made a lot of people feel worse. And, you know, if people... after this attack, we're feeling fearful, having a party leader get up and say you can't walk down the street without being killed if you're wearing a hijab. Well, that I don't think that make them feel very good either. So,
yeah,
and it's
that,
not true.
That,
I mean,
I just didn't think it was very nice. That's all.
Yeah. So it remains to be seen. Is that something that will help or hurt Jagmeet Singh? It remains to be seen.
Don't worry. There'll be a lot of people bringing that up when the federal election comes.
Okay, well, if they remember, they'll be bringing it up. It's hard to know what people will remember. Debbie in Toronto. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Libby. I'm angry at Jenica Atzin's comments. They're inaccurate, and I want to just confirm this. Israel is not an apartheid state. She has no knowledge of the facts. And then for Anna May to be given this ultimatum about refuting the statement is shameful.
That wasn't the ultimatum, but it looks like she's standing up to that. So let me just give people a little context, and we don't have time here. So Jenica Atwin, I mean, for some reason, some of the people in that party are totally obsessed with Israel and the Palestinians, even though, you know, that is completely irrelevant to, they're supposed to be the Green Party. And there are a lot of so-called woke people who say terrible things about Israel, you know, that are completely untrue and hold it to a very different standard than any of the other countries there. Israel has warts, but that's not one of them. And I just want to point out, they just had an election. They unseated their prime minister of 12 years, and they are now governing with a coalition which has an Arab Islamic party for the first time So it's hard to say that they are apartheid, and there are other, a few other Arab members of parliament. So, you know, you should get a little credit for that.
That really well. And just to add, Hamas are the terrorists. I mean, in fact, just after that peace agreement, yesterday they did. Hamas triggered these firebombs that made now Israel have to bomb. So they're always the instigators, but poor Israel keeps getting attacked.
Okay, so, you know, this is where things probably get a little murky. Hamas is recognized by countries, including Canada, as a terrorist organization. So, you know, people who don't give it any criticism, that's something to look at. I don't really, we're out of time, and, you know, all those things, there are a lot of questions around it. And yes, they sent up some incendiary balloons, and yes, there was retaliation. But as I said, it's one thing to look at what's happening there and to ask very reasonable questions about it of all sides. But a lot of the things we hear are completely unfair. And on that note, that's all the time we have for Fight Back for today and for the week. We'll be back here on Monday.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.